Walt Meyer, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks for having me. Nice to talk to you.
Yesterday, we saw a report from the National Snow and Ice Data Center in Colorado, basically saying that Arctic sea ice reached a record low maximum extent for a third winter in a row. What's going on?
Mm-hmm. Well, we've had basically a really warm winter, pretty extreme conditions up in the Arctic, several degrees above average. We also saw at least three pretty good storms that kind of tracked in from the south through like the Barents Sea, kind of along the coast of Scandinavia and up into the Arctic. That brought some really, really warm conditions. At times, we had the North Pole being near the freezing point in January and February, which is really kind of unheard of. You know, that's normally 30 to 40 degrees below zero Celsius. So some really extreme conditions. And of course, when you have such warmth, your ice growth is going to be slower. It's going to be prevented in some areas. And so the ice has not gotten to the extent that it normally gets to at the end of winter. And like you said, this is the third year in a row we've seen this. This is a record low this year in 2017, lower even than the 2 years previously.
Yeah, I think the reporter was saying that the winter freeze-up picked on March 7th, and 14.42 million square kilometers of ice extent, which is the lowest in the satellite record dating back to 1979.
Yes. Yeah, our records go back to 1979. And we've seen a declining trend, a long-term declining trend of about 3% per decade in the wintertime ice cover. And so we've been seeing kind of on average lower and lower extents. But the last 3 years have been, you know, particularly extreme, relatively speaking, and record-breaking in terms of how low the ice or how little ice there was at the end of the ice growth season.
And they were also talking about the thickness of the ice. What can you tell me about that?
So we don't have quite as good of information about thickness. There is a European satellite, Cryosat-2, that's giving us data on thickness, but it's only been operating since 2010. So we don't really have a long record from that. We have some other data and some other ways to indicate thickness. We can track the age of the ice, and younger ice is thinner. And so we don't have quite as good a record in terms of absolute quantitative, you know, this is a record, not a record. But based on the data that we have, this is either a record or very close to a record, I would say. It's certainly very thin compared to what it used to be in the 1980s and 1990s. There are some indications that this is the lowest thickness and the lowest ice volume that we've seen. We don't have as much confidence to say it for sure in terms of the data that we have, but I certainly wouldn't be surprised. And it's, like I said, certainly much thinner than it used to be.
What does this mean in practical terms for weather patterns outside the Arctic?
That's a very good question. You know, in terms of what the Arctic changes and the sea ice changes mean for weather outside, that's an area that's really active research. It's still somewhat controversial, but there's growing evidence that the changes that we see in the Arctic, particularly in the fall freeze-up time, November, December, and through the winter, is having an impact on lower latitudes. And what's happening is we have this area that's remaining ice-free longer, and that ocean heat and that ocean moisture is gaining access to the atmosphere up in the Arctic that didn't used to exist. And so that's warming the Arctic. And what that's doing, it's changing the balance between the cold Arctic and the warmer mid-latitudes, and that seems to be affecting things like the jet stream and how the jet stream is flowing around the poles And basically that jet stream helps to kind of steer weather patterns. And so we're seeing some evidence of changes in that jet stream that is potentially bringing more extreme weather to the mid-latitudes, more extreme rain events or snow events, or even more extreme kind of drought events, depending on how that jet stream shifts, and that changes from year to year, of course, that the jet stream. But we've seen the seas more of a shift towards allowing more extreme weather and more unusual weather in the mid-latitudes.
And if I understand correctly, this is a bit counterintuitive, but this means that for example, the North Pole got an unusual heat wave, but it also meant that colder air kind of looped further south than it would usually do?
Yes. And that's kind of, so the jet stream, its normal motion runs from west to east, kind of circles the pole. So the cold air, essentially what that does is it acts almost like a wall and prevents that cold air from coming down south. It essentially kind of encloses it in. But what we see with the Arctic warming, that warmth can kind of push down towards the south. And what happens is you get this Arctic air coming in from the north, kind of pushing, making the jet stream more, putting a kink into the jet stream or a loop in the jet stream. So the jet stream flows, instead of just west to east, it flows kind of north to south. And then on the other end, it can actually flow from south to north. So what you end up getting is, in one area, you get this flow of Arctic air, which is, even though it's warm in the Arctic relative to Arctic conditions, it's cold air relative to the mid-latitudes. So you get these more of these cold outbursts, which can bring, you know, really cold temperatures in the winter to certain regions, and snow, heavy snowfalls potentially. But then, you know, that jet stream kind of loops back around and comes up north, and that brings in warm air up into the Arctic, and even in some areas of the mid-latitude. So it depends on where you are on that loopy jet stream as to what extremes you may get. You may get extreme cold on one side, and then on the other side, you get kind of winds from the south and weather systems from the south bringing in warm air. So you can get kind of both extremes in related to these changes in the Arctic.
Okay. Now, looking kind of further into 2017, what are you going to keep an eye on?
So 2017. So we've reached the maximum now. The ice is, we're starting to lose the ice through the into the springtime, and we'll lose it through the summer. And you know, one of the big questions is, you know, will we see a record low summer ice extent? We've seen even more extreme losses during the summertime than into winter, and we've seen some record lows in the last decade. 2012 is the most recent one. But basically, the last 10 years, the summer minimum extent that we reach in September, those have been the last 10 in our satellite record. So we're looking at another pretty extreme summer. The question is, you know, how low will it go? We've got a low extent. We've got a thin ice cover. So it's certainly prone to potentially lose a lot of ice this summer. However, one of the things that we're still studying and still trying to understand, a low winter does not, or record low winter does not necessarily correlate, doesn't mean that we're going to see a record low summer, because the summer conditions are really a big part of it. You know, we can, even if we start out at a low, thin ice cover, we could have a relatively cool summer that kind of slows down the melt and kind of keeps us from setting a record. And so I think that's one of the things we're going to be watching as we go into the spring and into the summer, is what's going on with the ice, is how fast is it melting? Are we looking at a potential record? And so I think that's going to be kind of an interesting thing to watch as we go through the season here. And like I said, it doesn't mean we will get a record just because we had a record in the summer. It's because we had a record in the winter. But we're in a more fragile state than we've been, I would say, than we've been ever before, based on the data that we have. And so unless we get a favorable summer to retain ice, it's quite possible that we could set a record. It's pretty much guaranteed we're going to be very low, just because the ice is so thin and there's so little of it here as we're starting out with, compared to normal, that it's almost impossible essentially to not have a very low ice year at the end of summer. So I think that's going to be an interesting thing to look at. I mean, essentially the ice environment has changed. You were in a new regime of lower ice cover, more summer melt, thinner ice cover, and it's just a matter of how low it will go.